and we'll get you guys started. All right. We are in the 11th parak of Mesillas Yesharim. If you're following along the text in the Feldheim, it's page Ayin Aleph, page 71, at the bottom. And again, what we've been doing, what we've been talking about, is this Midah of Nikiyas. We're going to spend two more weeks on the 11th parak. As I said, it's really pretty long. Basically, we're talking about rationalizing and the Midah that a person has to rationalize and be what's called Mara Heter, but to kind of decide that something is Mutter for themselves because you know they have a certain personal vested interest in making it Mutter. So we've been talking about a lot of different halachos. We're talking about Arayos. We talked about theft. We talked about last week. We talked about Machal Zasuros, different types of Kashrus, and socially other things. You know, in terms of speaking to other people. So here, the Rav Chaim is going to continue in that vein. Right, and at the bottom of page Ayin Aleph, he continues, and he talks about Lashon Hara and Rechilus. That he says that everybody knows. Again, it's similar to all the other Isurim, right? We started with a construct, right? That, for example, the main Isurim, let's say by Arayos and by theft, everybody knows to highway robbery is Osir. But to steal a little time from your employer, not really. Such a, you know, people don't pay attention to that. People very much will rationalize that. So the same thing by Lashon Hara and Rechilus. And by all the other things he's going to talk about, right? He says that Lashon Hara, everybody knows. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? Obviously, people know that already is, Baruch Hashem, we know we're up to the point. We know that that's Lashon Hara. But Avak Lashon Hara, as he said, something that people are not necessarily careful of, right? As the Gemara says in Bava Basra, we quoted it before, that everybody violates Avak Lashon Hara. Just to give another example, right? Avak Lashon Hara, the Ramchal himself gives an example, is that someone says, where can I find a fire to cook my food? Back in the day, it wasn't so easy to find an oven. Where can I find my fire? Oh, so-and-so, that family, they always have a fire on. So that's could be taken in a very nice way, that they're always doing Echnas Orchim, or that could imply that they're, you know, they always are eating, they're a little bit, they're fat, or maybe you could even damage that person's reputation, right, because people will now always go to them, and maybe it'll be a burden, and maybe they can have guests, but they can't have too many guests, meaning something that will, even though your intentions aren't bad, right, Rechilus is subjective. Anything that can cause someone else to be damaged or embarrassed from your speech, even though you're trying to say something very nice, right, that's Avak Lashon Hara. Right, and again, as Gemara says over there, anybody speaks Lashon Hara is if a kofar beikar, right, as the Ramchal says, if you flip the page on page Ayin Beis, kol dibur sheyochol leivaleid bimeno nezek ubizayon lechavero, any speech that could theoretically create, literally could give birth to something that damages or embarrasses your friend, bein b'fanav, bein shalo b'fanav, whether they're standing in front of you or not, harezi b'chol lashon hara sana yom mitov lefnei ha'makom. That's included in lashon hara, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. Which the you know lashon hara, as it quotes already the Gemara that says someone says lashon hara is like he's kofar b'ikar. How does that work? That a person is not bikoris because they say lashon hara. So Rav Miller again, who I learned the Ramchal the Mesillas Yesharim by. So he said that the Ramban says at the end of Parshas Bo, right, that the whole purpose of the Torah is liyeda uliyoda. The purpose of creation is to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to give thanks for him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I created all of these human beings. Right? There are one side of the Seres HaDibros, right, is five Dibros that are dedicated to Beinam Lechavero. And when you damage your friend, when you damage another human, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, so that's undermining what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. That's the kfira, you're being kofar b'ikar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be good to our fellow man, and we're not being that. So a person has to realize that they're responsible for whatever comes out of your mouth. Now, yes, it does seem like we're always mentioning that, but it requires constant chizuk, just like the Ramchal himself wrote at the beginning of the Mesillas Yesharim, right? You have to remember and always mention, because we're always talking, and we're always chattering, and we're always typing, and we're always texting, and whatever. And we have to realize that our speech and our actions, but in this area have real consequences, and you have to be careful. Okay, moving on. Again, talking about different things that we may rationalize, and therefore will require the midah of nikiyus, of making sure we don't rationalize, right? Again, to define nikiyus means to rise above a personal vested interest in the topic at hand and view the situation as if you're a third party hovering overhead. So again, moving on in the social realm, right, starts talking about sinna and nekama, which is hatred and taking revenge. Right, that's also rationalized. A person thinks that if someone does something bad to you, So a person thinks they deserve what I'm about to do to them, right? They deserve this sweet revenge which I'm about to take. But that's also, right? As he says, right? It's even though hanakama is metuka midvash, even though revenge is sweet, just like certain candies are sweet, but certain candies are treif. Right, a person has to rise above themselves, right? Even though it's tremendously difficult, right? Whoever is strong is able to overcome their nature and their yetzer hara. But that's all of Judaism, right? No one said it's supposed to be easy, right? It says Ramchal in that paragraph, right? Fascinating. Again, we unfortunately kind of like unfortunately drift towards like the halachos and the midos that are easy for us to accomplish, and there's something to be said for that. That a person should definitely accomplish religiously in their lives, and whatever comes easier to them, right, you should definitely check off the box. But some things are a lot harder, right? And the Ramchal himself writes, if I'm in the middle of the paragraph, Chazak v'amitz, right? Be strong. V'ukal raklam alachesharis. This is only easy for angels. Right? They don't have these humanly characteristics. Omnam, however, gzeres hamalachi, right? It's tough, but Kosh Baruch Hu said, this is what you got to do, and this is why I created you. Right? Even though a person has a natural inclination towards this, a person rationalizes that they're just reacting. Right? When we react with hatred and revenge or whatever, I'm just reacting. What do you mean? It's natural for me to hate someone who's mean to me. Yeah, okay, but Kosh Baruch Hu wants us to react in a different way. Right? If someone does something wrong to you, instead of hating the person, so you should try and feel that this person is a Nebuch. So you should feel bad for someone who's lashing out because clearly they're in a bad place, and the only reason they're lashing out at you is because they're having difficulty in their lives. Again, yes, it's very, very extremely difficult, but the psukim are clear. He quotes them here at the end of the paragraph. Lo sisnas achicha bil vavecha. Don't hate your friend. Don't hate your Jew, a fellow Jew. Lo tikom v'lo titor. Right? Don't take revenge, and maybe even harder, don't harbor a grudge. Right? Don't. A person's not allowed to have a grudge. And that's hard. That's really tough, right? It's natural to feel wronged and slighted and insulted. But these are certain, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, try to rise above. Now, the two ways that you can rise above, right, that Rav Miller gave Eitza, and the Ramchal also, does he mention it? Yeah, sort of. Okay, as you just mentioned outside. Either you could try and take a deep breath and say, okay, Hashem said no. Right, that's kind of harder. That's hard to do, right? Even though, you know, we want to do X, and the Kosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're not allowed to do X, and so we rise above that. Okay. Another way, there's a mashal in the Yerushalmi, which is, I don't think it's mentioned here. I'm just like kind of skimming the text for it. I don't think it mentions it here, but Rav Miller mentioned there's a mashal of the Yerushalmi that, let's say you're cutting vegetables, and you accidentally cut your finger. So, obviously, you would never, ever think to cut your other hand, the hand that actually cut your finger, right? Or, you know, to cut your hand off for punishing it for cutting your finger, right? That's ridiculous. So, in a sense, we have to view Am Yisrael as one complete body. Right? The same thing over here. If you take vengeance on another Jew, you're basically punching yourself in the face, right? Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazet. Now, yes, it's extremely hard to internalize this idea in the moment, but as we mentioned before, it's if you work on it before the moment arises, so then you're able to deal with it differently. Right? When you're stuck in it and someone damages something or says something mean to you or whatever, so in the moment it's very hard. But if you work on these ideas, Kol Yisrael Erev Zelazet, and Akash Baruch Hu said X, Y, and Z, you're not allowed to do it. If you work on that beforehand, so then maybe you can respond appropriately, right, when these situations arise. It says in Ramchal, continuing on a little bit, that the Yetzer Hara tries, and very often I find myself doing this for sure, and not even unconsciously, subconsciously, but he said that Ramchal here writes in this paragraph and the next paragraph as well, that it's a trick of the Yetzer Hara to keep alive some remembrance and some semblance of what happened. Right? Do you ever have yourself like kind of spacing out and all of a sudden you remember something that someone did to you like years ago? Like, that's the Yetzer Hara. That's pure, unadulterated Yetzer Hara. There's no reason for you to be remembering this. It's literally 5 years ago. It's not even, didn't even happen here. It happened somewhere else in completely different context. You're not even thinking about it. It just pops into your head. That's the Yetzer Hara, right? So the Yetzer Hara is doing that so you can keep up the flames and the fire of hate and keep up the grudge. And this is it. And you may not take revenge, but you won't be nice to that person and you'll hold a grudge and, okay, I'll be nice to them begrudgingly, right? There's a phrase, begrudgingly. I'll begrudgingly be nice to them. Right? Okay, I'll be her friend, but I won't be nice to her because what she did to me, X, Y, and Z. This is all the Yetzer Hara, And all of this is the Yetzer Hara trying to point out that someone else did something wrong to you, and you think the only way to let, and maybe you'll be like, this is also the Ramchal writes, it's so true. You're trying to subtly let them know that what they did was wrong and that you still remember it, right? Like, so, okay, so you won't be as nice to them as you used to be. And you'll kind of be like, I'll give them a little bit of a cold shoulder, and then they'll wonder what's the problem, and then you'll just kind of throw out a remark, oh, because you did this, blue, blah, blah, blah. That's the Yetzer Hara. That's what says Ramchal. That's the Yetzer Hara. Keeping it alive inside of us and changing the way we relate to people because of something they did, that's the Yetzer Hara, right? We have a mitzvah of after l'recha kamocha, mamish. That you have to love your friend like yourself, and if a person hurt you, you have to forget it. And maybe they're in a bad mood, maybe they're in a bad place, and I'll prove to you that it's possible. Because everybody has one or two or five or ten people who they're really close to, and you know that as a best friend, sibling, spouse, whatever it is, if they did something to hurt you, you would write it off, and you would be down the kafskos ad absurdum. So Kosh Baruch Hu wants you to take that, which we do already with a couple of people, for sure we do, and extend that to everybody. Right? Is it easy? No. And no one said it would be easy. But the Ramchal says, that's the issue of taking revenge and holding a grudge. It's not supposed to be easy. But this is what we're trying to do and trying to overcome these individual netiyas, these individual feelings. And he says, as he finishes off this first paragraph on page Ayin Gimel, right? After l'recha kamocha, mamash. Right? Literally, love your fellow like yourself, mamash. B'li chilukim, without any distinctions, b'li tach b'lodu mizimot, without anything else, without any differences, kamocha mamish, right? Mamish like yourself. Okay. He moves on to the realm of shvuos, of taking oaths, the Ramchal does, because while, you know, people may know that they shouldn't take an oath, I swear by God's name that I will blah, blah, blah tomorrow. Okay, people don't do that. And even though people are perhaps aware of, you know, the consequences of using, you know, Mos Yishem Shemaim Levatola, it's one of the Sarasa Dibros. Rambam writes already the consequences of someone's Mos Yishem Shemaim Levatola swears in God's name. But even without the formula of a Shavua, right, a person's commitment is a form of Shavua. A person's word is his word. It's as if you're bringing Kosh Baruch Hu into the picture. Right? A Jew is expected to keep his or her word. Right? Along the same vein, right, lying, right, is a holy ra, right? Fascinating if you turn the page, where is that? On the first paragraph in page Ayin Daled, Dvar Sheker Hu Holy Ra, that lying, right, if a person commits to doing X, Y, and Z, whether it's a job or a favor or whatever, and then, you know, they don't really keep their word, it's a bit of Sheker, right? There definitely is an aspect of Sheker there. Fascinating how he calls it a holy, a sickness. But I would imagine that that's why, the reason why the Ramchal calls lying a sickness is because it's never just a lie, right? Just like a sickness, it spreads and it spreads. It's never a single lie that a person tells. And inevitably, a person tells a lie and then they have to back it up and back it up, and it's a lie upon lie. And it's never just that little white lie that you said. And that's also like violating Yeshua as a form of lying. And he says, even though most people are not habitual liars, although those people do exist, obviously. Most of us are not, Baruch Hashem, but all of us do lie in a certain sense, because all of us, says Ramchal, all of us exaggerate. And for many of us, that's second nature. It's almost expected now, certainly nowadays, right, when you're telling a story, right, everybody expects almost some form of good exaggeration just to make the story better, right, just to make the joke a little funnier, just to make the inspiration a little more. So that's also lying. That's also Midvar Sheker Tirchak that you have to run away from. And it says Ramchal in the next paragraph, there's even another category that's even more common. Right? People don't necessarily lie, but if it'll help them in a certain situation without any, you know, kavanos ros, any bad kavanas, right? They'll lie. And, okay, it's not the end of the world. Right? It's not such a big deal. Right? They'll just throw in something, right, a little bit extra. Right? And no one's getting hurt on it. I mean, you'll get a little bit of benefit, but it's a form of sheker. Right? Dvar sheker yisna tzadik. Right? As it goes pasuk in Mishlei, that a Kosh Baruch Hu, right, hates, a tzadik should hate falsehood, should hate sheker, should hate lying, just like Kosh Baruch Hu. It's against a Kosh Baruch Hu. The chosim shel a Kosh Baruch Hu emes. Right? A Kosh Baruch Hu seal, right, is truth. Right? That's now again when you Kosher Baruch Hu is kulo truth, right? That not my now we have that word truth nowadays is like a almost like a catchphrase in America, right? There's my truth, there's your truth, right? There's no objective truth, right? But according to the Torah and Jewish thought, that there is objective truth. There's a Kosher Baruch Hu's truth. Right? That's it. Period. Full stop. There is only truth. That Hashem is Chos Moshe al Kosher Baruch Hu. Hashem's seal is truth. Right? Falsehood is the opposite of that. Right? A friend of mine likes to say the only difference between he said once and I remembered it. He doesn't like to say. A friend of mine said this line and I love it so much. The only difference between fiction and politics is that everyone knows that the authors are lying. Right. Everything is lying nowadays. Everything is false and everything is true is far from truth. And the pasuk says mitvar shaker tirchak, right? Just like we spoke by Arayos that there are certain harchakos, right? You have the phrase the Ramchal here emphasizes. It doesn't say. I'm just trying to find it in the text. One second. Yeah, on page Ayin Hay on the first paragraph, he says it says mitvar shaker tirchak. A person should distance themselves from lies, from falsehood. Now, we spoke about Arayos, but the phrase harchakos comes up. I mean, it's a shame you guys are getting close, right? But when a person gets married, it's the halachas of nida, right? There are certain harchakos that a man and woman have to separate, not only physically, but also in certain endearing types of things, past things, one example. So the reason there are halachos called harchakos, that's to distance a person from each other, and that's on purpose, right? When bia is usher, when being together is usher, so there's extra, right? Harachokos, trying to distance ourselves from that. Same thing by sheker, right? It doesn't say midvar sheker mi sheker tishamer. It doesn't say guard yourself from falsehood. It says tirchak, distance yourself from falsehood, right? Stay far, far away from it, right? Run away from it, right? There needs to be a clear distance from lying and falsehood, and unfortunately, we don't put that distance between ourselves and it often enough. Rav Miller told a story about the Chavetz Chaim. He said his son once went to Yerushalayim, and unfortunately, by that point, there was already a lot of politics going on in Yerushalayim. I'm not sure but Pasha says between the families that lived there already. And the Chavetz Chaim's son came, and the first night he was there, somebody knocked on his door and said, "Oh, don't get involved with this." And so the next night, someone else knocked on his door and said, "Oh, don't get involved in that guy." And then he left, and he couldn't handle it because he couldn't deal with the politics, he couldn't deal with the lying. And the Ramchal quotes Pasuk in Tzfanya, it's simply not Jewish to have these types of qualities, right? To have the lying. Right? Sheris Yisrael, right? Am Yisrael, but whatever's left of Am Yisrael is a sad way of saying Am Yisrael. Lo Yasu Avla, right? Should not do, it makes sense. Lo Yidabru Kazov, Lo Yimtse Befiyem Lashon Tarmis. I shouldn't find any deception, right? It's not Jewish to lie. Period. Full stop. Right? Hashem's seal is truth, right? Imagine, Lahavdil Elef of Fe'avdolos. The house flags in Harry Potter, or in Game of Thrones, or in let's say a holier setting, right? The Jewish flags in the tribes in the desert, right? A flag is what defines you, right? A flag, a semel, is what defines every country has a flag that's like supposed to be like the essence of that country. Kosh Baruch Hu's flag and seal is truth, is emes. So being a tzelem elokim and an eved Hashem requires tremendous dedication, and very often we have a tendency to lie and rationalize lying because it's a lie that's necessary, or the little white lie, and sometimes it's mutter to lie. But as Ramchal writes, there are certain exceptions. Right, a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says, is allowed to lie for three different things. A person can lie for shalom, right? Famously, that of course Baruch Hu, kind of changed the truth, so there wouldn't be any problems between Avram and Sarah for shalom bayis. Okay, there are certain places where a person can lie, but if you, one of the pillars of the world is shalom, right? So you can undermine MS for shalom. Okay, that's already a different discussion, but tachlis is that there's a lot of rationalization, says the Ramchal, and we need nikiyus in this area. We need to make sure that we're not rationalizing and allowing ourselves to lie, in every circumstance. Okay, moving on in other social situations, Ramchal moves on to Chil Hashem. This is a bit of a fascinating one, I thought. The Chil Hashem also has a lot of details. Again, I'm trying to just go a little bit faster just so you can get through the get through the Perek Yud Aleph. I'm on already page Ayin Vav on the second paragraph over there. Chil Hashem also has a lot of details. And again, we mentioned anytime something has details, people know you shouldn't be Mechal Hashem Shemayim in Farhesi. You shouldn't walk into the middle of shul and start screaming obscenities at a Kosh Baruch Hu. Great, thank you. Shkoyach. No one's doing that. But it has a lot of details. Right, and very often when there are details, that leads to rationalization. Right, a person is supposed to bring love to a Kosh Baruch Hu. Right, tzarich adam lios chas al kvod kono. A person has to be careful about the kavod for a Kosh Baruch Hu, not the opposite. Right, everything we do, right, it has to be done with histaklus and avana, with realizing that all actions have reactions, and there's a domino effect and a chain reaction. Got to be able to look down the chain and think about your behavior, right? Even if your attention is a Kiddush Hashem, but it could lead to the opposite of Chas HaShalom, so that's something you have to think about. That's something you shouldn't rationalize. Again, Perkei Avos says, right, in the third paragraph, Echad Shogeg Vechad Mezid B'Chilul Hashem. Even a Chilul Hashem that's B'Shogeg, right, that's with negligence and not on purpose, right, is the same as a Chilul Hashem that was done on purpose. Now, the Rambam, at the end of Yisod HaTorah, right, and the Gemara in Yuma over here that the Ramchal quotes, right, defines Chil Hashem for us. And it's a very, very long discussion, and it's definitely not going to be limited to this. But how do you define a Chil Hashem? So the Gemara in Yoma says, right, has a bunch of list of a bunch of the personalities in the Gemara, and they all say, right, for me, this is a Chil Hashem. And one of the examples, for you, just to throw an example, one of them is, as Ramchal says, that if I would have bought meat on credit, and I didn't pay for the meat right away, that would be a Chil Hashem. That someone of my stature, says the Moroyim, I don't know, I forget, Rav, it's Rav. Rav said that if I would pay on credit, right, that would be a Chil Hashem. Now, okay, for us, obviously, we're not supposed to take that literally, but he's explaining, and Rabbi Yochanan gave an example, if you'd walk four Amos without Torah and Tefillin, that would be a Chil Hashem. What the Gemara is trying to point out is that people on a level are expected, right, to do something. Now, when a person's on a certain level socially, right, in the, I guess, looked at as a Rav or a role model, whatever it is, you know, female role model as well, certainly, doesn't have to be just a Rav, right, there's a certain expectation that's set with such a stature, right? Even, and this is crucial, even if this is how people think of you, but you don't think of yourself, of this. Meaning, if you're a representation of Orthodoxy, a representation of Yiddishkeit and from Torah and your Shemayim, etc., even if you yourself feel like you're not, or that you're struggling, or you're in a bad place, that's still how you have to act. Right? That's the level of Chil Hashem. Now that takes some soul searching sometimes. Right? Just for example, I sometimes forget that I'm a rabbi. Not that I'm running around, like I said, cursing in the Lashul, but sometimes I forget that there's a certain expectation that if I would do X, Y, and Z, people would not think less of me, but they'd be like, really? Is that for you to do? So sometimes we have to take a step back and realize how we are viewed in other people's eyes, and that's the level we have to live up to. And because, again, according to the person's chachma, according to their own chashivos, even if they're not so down with that, a person has to be careful, right? If, let's say, for example, the Rav of the Shul, if he would talk during davening, or just to give random examples, if the Rav of the Shul would talk during davening, or he would look at his phone during Chazar Shashatz, or he would come to Shul late, or he would daven a really quick Shmon Esrei. So that's a problem of Chil Hashem. Now, is his davening, let's say, for example, in a good place personally? Maybe not, but he has to view himself, right, as a role model as such. The same thing with you guys. You go, you walk around a neighborhood, right, you came back from Sem, or 1 year, 2 years, 3 years out, and you're living, walking, Kiddush Hashem, and you have to view yourself as such, right? If you don't, if you act like in a way that other people expect you to act, right, if you don't act in the way that other people expect you to act, so that's in a certain sense undermining Kavod HaTorah, Yiras Shamayim, right? They see someone who is learned, someone who has went to seminary, someone who is from, but they don't have the proper midos, or for example, or whatever. So that's not only harming yourself, but it also causes a harm to the Torah and Kodesh Baruch Hu and Kavod Shamayim. There's no greater Chil Hashem than that, because the Torah is supposed to bring a person to perfection, right? Both in your actions and your characteristics, etc. That's the goal. And when the Torah doesn't affect you and your midos, so there's no greater Chil Hashem than that. Okay. Moving on to the next page, on page Ayin Zayin, the Ramchal mentions Shabbos and Yom Tov. that we also mentioned this a little bit, but Shabbos and Yom Tov have a lot of gray areas and places for us to rationalize. Certainly, you know, we know that, Baruch Hashem, we know striking a match is Asur on Shabbos, but as the Ramchal points out over here, there are a lot of Derabbanans. Right? A lot of Derabbanans now, and even within Derabbanans, right, we know that there's such a thing as Muktzah, but there's some Derabbanans we're not as familiar with. Right? And we mentioned already earlier that in the Sefer, the Derabbanans are like a fence in front of a huge cliff. Right? They're not to be disrespected. They're real protections for us. As Gemara says in the Chagiga, don't let the Durabanans be kalbi necha, be light in your eyes, because all tons of dapim of Gemara, right, are based on Durabanans. Right? There are so much Gemara dedicated to Erevin. The whole sentence Erevin is basically how do you take a din Durabanan and make it into a place where it's mutter to carry on Shabbos. There are a ton of pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of Shas talking about Dinim Derabanan. And even though we have all these halachos written down, even though you have Hilchos Shabbos written down for us, you have Shulchan Aruch, Shmir Shabbos, the 39 Balachos, the Grey Book, is still what to work on, because unfortunately we don't treat these Derabanans with proper respect. The Ramchal, the examples the Ramchal gives is Daber Dovar, what else does he have over here? Mimtzu Heftecha, and basically the way that we carry ourselves, right, there's a pasuk in Sheyo, right, that you should be honored, Kosh Baruch Hu, in the way that you conduct yourself, the things that you talk about, right, the way you walk, the way you speak, right, and that is something that is also a person perhaps is not necessarily so conscious of, right? We know the phrase Nishke Shabbos Garet, I'm not supposed to talk about that on Shabbos. So there's, I don't know how to pronounce it. I think I'd butcher it. Yitti, you could probably tell me, because you actually speak Yiddish, and I don't really know what I'm saying. But there's a classic Nishke Shabbos Garet story, some form of fashion that everybody said, oh, Nishke Shabbos Garet, I'm not going to talk about that on Shabbos. So guy in shul turns to the guy behind him and says, Nishke Shabbos Garet, I'm planning on selling my car. So the guy behind him comes to his wife and says, oh, Nishke Shabbos Garet, how much should we offer for the car? So the wife says, Nishke Shabbos Garet, we can offer such and such amount. So the guy comes back to shul for mincha, he says, Nishke Shabbos Garet, I'd like to make you an offer. So the guy, of course, in front of him says, Nishke Shabbos Garet, already sold it. Yes, okay, you shouldn't talk about it on Shabbos, and unfortunately we're not serious about that. We talk about a lot of things all the time. And the Pasuk says, right, Din Derabanan, you should not have, the same way you talk on Shabbos should not be the same way you talk during the week. The same thing, the things you think about, the things you discuss should be different. Right, you shouldn't talk about things you're preparing for Motzei Shabbos, even if all that work is being done after Shabbos, buying that stock and making that investment. Again, people rationalize because, okay, it's not really an iser, it's not really an action. What am I doing? I'm not doing any action. It's not on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom. It's after Shabbos. Okay, so people rationalize, but unfortunately, right, that's inappropriate to plan out those things. And Ramchal says you have to strengthen yourself to not to rationalize with that. So moving over to page Ayin Ches, and he says really, again, as we mentioned earlier, that Nikias applies to every Isser, right? That making sure you don't rationalize and pulling yourself out from these discussions and halachic kind of trying to figure out whether something's mutter or Isser, it applies to everything, right? But, right, he pulled out a couple examples that a person has serious netios towards, serious issues and personal investments in, and then and that's what he's been listing up until now. And almost every halacha has room for rationalization. He quotes a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that he says over here that basically that just like that Bnei Yisrael are tsanua, that's what helped them in the war against in Midian. Right, if you remember from Parshas Matos. He quotes also that the Bnei Yisrael were able to win the war against Midian not because necessarily of tznius, but because of nikius, because they were careful in the details. Right? Rav Huna explained that it was because of nikius. What specific nikius is there? So he explained that the reason that Bnei Yisrael won the war in Midian is because Bnei Yisrael were careful about the details. Right? They were makpid either, according to the Medrash, that they didn't put on the tefillin shel rosh before the tefillin shel yad. Right, they made sure to put the tefillin on in the appropriate manner. Or, as the Yerushalmi says, they didn't speak between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or. Between Yishtabach, right, if you write in Shachris, right, there's the Yishtabach, and then there's the Bikur's Kriya Shema. The person didn't speak between those two things. The question is why the Ramchal chose those two areas, and Rav Miller explained it because those are also gray areas. There are also details within those tiny halachos. Right, even within the halacha of putting on your tefillin in the right order, or not speaking between Yishtabach, which is the end of Pesukei Dezimra and Yotze Ora, which is the first bracha in Brachos Kriyat Shema, even there are even gray areas over there. Because the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Tefillin that if a person accidentally touched the Shel Rosh first, they should put it aside and put on the Shel Yad, meaning the hand tefillin before the head tefillin, even if they touch the head tefillin first. Because even though it's violating the Isser of Mavir Nala Mitzvah, so you shouldn't pass up a mitzvah for another mitzvah, still you should put it on first. Meaning there are two competing. I guess this is probably not so relevant for you guys, so I'll just kind of go through it quickly. There are two competing issues here. On the one hand, you touched your head tefillin first, so you really shouldn't pass up that opportunity to do a mitzvah. On the other hand, is in order to put on your tefillin. So you have to know the halacha, not rationalize and just say, oh, well, I guess I touched it, I might as well put it on first. No, the halacha says that even within this kind of small, tiny thing, right, there's an order at play here. And also, even you know, just to explain between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or, right? There is certain scenarios where you're allowed to speak during davening, right? To get tzedakah, right? Let's say, for example, because you've finished that area of tefillah, you're finished Pesukei Dezimra, so the Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to give tzedakah between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or, between the end of Pesukei Dezimra and the beginning of Berachos Kriyat Shema. But you can't really talk for other things, right? And that's your detail, meaning where do you draw the line, right? For a mitzvah to get tzedakah, that you're allowed to, but maybe to tell someone their car lights are on, maybe to tell someone about an investment, right? How far do you extend? So a mitzvah, a person can really rationalize when you have all these details. So that's exactly, right? That's what he talked about. Okay. Now, we're just going to start this last section of Perek Yud Aleph. We're not going to do all of it, obviously, because we're already at the end. At the end of our time, specifically. Now the Ramchal moves on to Midos. And if this seemed a little bit slow with all these details and different halachos, so hopefully this will be a nice change of pace and a little bit fresh breath of air. He says, just like we talked about all these Yisurim that have a big Isser, right, and then a lot of details which a person tends to rationalize, and that's where we need Nikios. That's where we have to pull out our personal Nitios, our personal attachments, and hopefully not determine what to do based on that, right? Pull ourselves out and view it through a third party. The same thing is true of Midos. And it requires, says Ramchal, in the last paragraph on page Ayin Ches, on page 78, right? Even more Nikias for our Midos than our actions. Because human nature, right, affects a person's Midos even more than their actions, right? Actions are almost a step removed from a person's natural inclinations, right? A person is naturally, you know, lazy, angry, etc. And based on that, then a person acts, right? But a person's own Midos are directly affected, right, by their personal inclinations, by their personal natia, right? Character traits are directly influenced by a person's nature, right? Everyone is born with a certain leaning and certain personalities in different directions. So the actions come only in a second step, right? The mitos themselves, right, are directly affected by that. So any war against your inner nature, right, if it's negative, right, is going to be a much more difficult one. And that's what the Ramchal writes. If you're at the end of page Ayin Ches, v'chol milchama shei neged nitzias hateva, any war that's against your actual human nature, milchama chazaka hi, right? It's a serious war. And that's what the Chazal said, ezu gibor kovashes yitzro. Someone who is strong is able to overcome their inner nature. Right? There's no heter for a person to say, well, this is how God made me, so what can I do? That's not a thing. Right, Kosh Baruch Hu made a person angry, so you got to overcome that natia to be angry. A person gave a person a natia, kind of his natural inclination is to steal, and so you got to fight that. Right? It says the Gra in Mishlei, as Rav Miller quoted, a person was put into this world to break your inner nature. So whatever your inner nature is, right, if it's negative, right, obviously if it's positive, you should use it for a positive. But if it's negative, a person is supposed to break that. And that's what we're dealing with over here. So that's what the Ramchal writes. V'hein midos hein rabos. There are tons of midos that a person has to kind of overcome. But just like he picked a couple of mitzvos, he's going to pick a couple of midos. And that's going to be, quote unquote, the big four. I don't know if anybody calls it that, but whatever. Okay, fine. Gaiva, kas, kina, and taiva. Gaiva, arrogance, kas, anger, kina, jealousy, and taiva, desire. Right, hein kol eila midos raza sherasam nikeres mufer semes. Right, again, as we said before, all of these everybody knows are bad midos. But kulan chutz mishur seichel chachma, right? Everyone, none of them are logical, right? None of them make sense, but yet we all have them, right? That everybody knows to be super angry and yell and scream and curse is usher. But there's certain levels of anger that we have to deal with and that we tend to rationalize, right? No one says it's okay to be lazy in the grand scheme of things, but unfortunately, as we mentioned before, right, all of us are lazy to a certain extent, right? And even though there are many rainbows of levels within each midah, right, so we're going to have to talk about each one. And all of these four things, says explainer of Miller, right, they stem from what's called the anochiyut, from a person's own sense of self and ego and their own identity and chashivos. And thinking that they are more important, for example, than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Not the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that I am Hashem, but the Anochi, the I, the me, the ego. As the Pasuk says in Dvarim, right? Moshe is telling Bnei Israel that he is recapping Maamon Har Sinai. So the Pasuk there says, Anochi Omed Bein Hashem Uveinechem. Moshe says, I stood between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the Chassidish Rebbes, I think it's quoted in the name of the Rebbe, the Kutzker Rebbe, but it could be others, or maybe I'm not sure. But he says, Anochi, I, Omed Bein Hashem Uveinechem. The I, the Anochi, the me, right? The ego, that's what stands between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these areas, certainly, we have our own selves, right, invested in, and we have a tremendous ability to rationalize, right? Everybody knows that these things are evil, but again, when a person, when you dig deeper, right, it's much harder to stop doing it, right? Again, it's very easy for us to see these midos in other people, but when it's within ourselves, and certainly when it's a detail within these midos, it's much, much harder to recognize. As he says over here, they're not actually logical. If you would think about it objectively, right? All of these four things, right? Arrogance, anger, jealousy, and desire, and taiva, right? All of these things make your life worse. A person is not making their life better by being jealous, right? But, right? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put inside of us, right? Again, people, unfortunately, everybody who has messed their life up, anybody who's in jail, is stemming from one of these four midos. And he says how bad these midos are, right? V'ram levavecha, right? Again, just a quote at the end of this paragraph on Daf, page Ayin Tes, and then we'll call it for today. He says about arrogance, v'ram levavecha, what happens when a person is arrogant? V'shechachta z'Hashem elokecha, you forget Hashem, because obviously you're thinking about yourself, right? Kas, about anger. So he quotes the Rambam writes, "Kol akoyes yebe nachakil over the avodah zarah." Someone who gets angry is as if he worshipped the avodah zarah. Right? It says about kina and taiva by jealousy and desire. Right? Mishnah says, "Perkei avos kina v'taiva v'kavod motzi'in asa adam mil ha'olam." They take a person out of this world, right? But as Ramchal says, we have to study them because even though sometimes it seems obvious that you shouldn't be angry, jealous, etc., digging deeper is something that we can certainly fall prey to, and the chiddush is in the details, right? Just like we did by the Yisurim, we're also going to have to dig a little deeper by the Midos, and Mitzvah Hashem, we will do that next week. Have a great night, everybody, and Mitzvah Hashem, we will see you on Thursday for Parshas Ki Seitzei.